we've been through Proverbs 1 through 3, right? And we've got started doing that, going through the book of Proverbs. Should the New Testament, should the New Covenant lens change the way that we look at Proverbs and or how to apply Proverbs? Do you have any? I mean, this is audience participation, so if you have an answer, I'm not going to say no, you're wrong. Well, I could. It just depends on what you say. Anybody have any thoughts on that? It's just something I wanted to ask. So how do we apply it looking at Proverbs, using Proverbs for what you've learned so far from this side of the cross? Yes, we should. So should there be anything different when you read Proverbs? Should there be anything different about it? Should you look at it through any different lens? Yes. What is that lens? How do we filter that? How do we look through that? Any ideas, Jason? Oh, no, just kidding. He said yes. So. That's right. And that's our verse tonight, too, to go over. So that was, did you read my notes? No, that was pretty good. Any other thoughts on that before we get started? So, yes, that's a good answer. So we are going to take up Proverbs 1 through 3 to refresh our memories and to remember what we are learning through Proverbs and with this kind of New Testament lens. And I was thinking this week with the elections and you know, and the guys who preach, and if you're teaching ever, in probably no matter what class it is, when you tend to want to apply it or you're thinking about it all the time. And so, you know, you're deciphering news and you're just kind of things pop up here and there. And I'm sure my family gets tired of it. I mean, we were out to dinner last night and I was bringing up my sermon. So not that there was anything great about it, but it's just what was on my mind. And so one of the things, you know, this last week was elections. And with the government elections, I was thinking about wisdom and leadership in politics, our military, business ownership, work, church leadership, and how wisdom applies to these roles. And I think there is much confusion over what is wise and unwise and even what wisdom is and how to apply wisdom on a day-to-day practical level. It was interesting. I did an internet search on wisdom. You should do that sometime. I found a good definition one time, but it's all over the map, as you can imagine. I ask myself, do most people even care about wisdom and having wisdom themselves or being aware of it, where it is or what it is and if it's in their life? And I just wondered that about the elections. Do we ever think about choosing a leader, I mean, because of their wisdom and not just the cult of personality? Unfortunately, in politics and other leadership roles, I often only see, this is my commentary, foolishness and little wisdom. Where man is devoid of relationship with God, decisions often seem to be made based upon the desire and influence of a few and the personal power and benefit of the leader, which is the opposite of what true biblical wisdom is as presented in Scripture. Godly leadership is based upon serving others with humility while basing decisions on God's explanation and direction of His will through His written word, giving God the honor and glory instead of self. Ultimately, wisdom is dependent on a personal relationship with Christ. Does that mean? So just think about that a little bit as we go through here. There's some questions you can ask yourself. I'm not going to say I'm not trying to answer them, but you could ask yourself a little bit like, you know, what about those who aren't believers? Is there wisdom? What, you know, I hope some of these, like the sermons, as you start in, you're listening to this, you ask those type of questions like, you know, personally, the church outside in the world, kind of how does this impact, you know, life? So turn, we are going to read Colossians 2, 1 through 3. And that is the kind of the foundational verse. We're just going to put that right up front before we kind of go through. And so, you know, the review, how I've done this, telling you right up front, kind of, you know, the headline, so to speak. And then looking at each chapter or each sermon, actually, that was preached, and then kind of looking at it at a higher level. The first time I've ever preached on three chapters, you know, so it was an interesting, it was a good exercise. And so as it might be helpful that when we get to, nothing's up there yet, when we get to the first chapter or whatever, it will. So if you want to try to follow along, if you want to kind of look through that, I'm only going to hit on certain highlights, right, that fit what I'm saying, not necessarily, I'm not rehashing everything, going through the same thing over again. So you can either listen, and I don't have verses up there that I'm reading or the sections, or I'll try to tell you what they are, and then you can kind of follow along or just go back and look at it later. So Colossians 2, 1 through 3. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of assurance, of understanding, and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then the English translation just says that last section, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It has a little bit of a different, but it's, you know, Christ is wisdom. And so, I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, wisdom's from the foundation of the earth. Christ embodies wisdom. Christ embodies not only God's mysterious plan of salvation for his people, and all wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. The Old Covenant reader could not have seen Christ clearly through the wisdom literature because Christ had not been revealed yet. And yet, by reading and seeking wisdom, Scripture always was centered around and focused on God and the necessity of a personal relationship with God. You can see that from the very beginning of the Proverbs and all the way through that. I mean, the writers are expecting a relationship with God and to find wisdom through God. Proverbs were written to supply wisdom and instruction to the reader and to ultimately point the wisdom seeker to Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom and understanding is an ongoing journey and one where we are to continually grow and mature, and where biblical wisdom begins with a personal relationship with God. The author of Proverbs tells us the purpose of Proverbs in the early verses, Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, in justice, in equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the beginning of a life of wisdom begins and ends with Christ. Without Christ, there is no true and lasting wisdom nor understanding. Through our relationship with Christ, we fear, honor, and respect him, and that is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord suggests reverence and awe, which we can show with a heart of obedience and humility. Through our relationship with Christ and through his words, we can know wisdom, instruction, and understand words of insight. We can receive instruction in wise dealing, it says, instruction in justice and what equity is. We can learn prudence and discretion. We can increase in learning, understand wise sayings, and understand Scripture. We should be increasing our learning in obtaining guidance through life, which will lead to God-given maturity. The setting of much of Proverbs is giving and receiving instruction within a family unit. both father and mother are taking part in the education process. God has provided his total family instruction with the practical use of God's word to navigate an often difficult and confusing life. God's people are to hear God's word and instruction, which allows us the wisdom and understanding to walk through life in a steady, believing, and understanding way. In Proverbs 1 through 3, there appears to be two paths we can walk down. One path is a path of wisdom and understanding, and the other, sin, murder, theft, and evil. As God's children, we are called by God to embrace a life of wisdom and understanding. Like one might wear a precious family heirloom and resist the constant enticement of those who want us to live a life of sin and evil. So Proverbs 1, 8 through 10, 15 and 19 is what I'm going to read here. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. So you can see wisdom is taught within the family context, and both, like I said, father and mother are taking part in the education process, with the father being ultimately the authority in the learning environment. The mother was present and listening to the father's instructions, and Proverbs makes clear that the mother's teaching was not supposed to be forsaken, but also treasured like fine jewelry. From a new covenant perspective, I see the old covenant family being replaced in the new covenant by Christ and the church. Christ is the head of the church, and we learn God's word largely from within our local community. We are to hear and cherish Christ's instruction through the word. That is where we learn wisdom within the church. Biblical instruction should continue at home. That doesn't get wiped away, but largely under the instruction and the authority of the church, because Christ is the head. Christ is the head teacher, and he is like the Father. He is teaching us. And outside the church, there will always be sinners trying to entice those around them to join in their sinful and destructive ways. But if we cling to Christ and his teaching, Christ's indwelling spirit and his word will give us the wisdom to walk down the path of wisdom and blessing and walk away from the path of sin. Wisdom is never hidden. And Proverbs tells us that wisdom is always calling from obvious places to get man's attention. Proverbs 1, 20 through 23. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market. She raises her voice at the head of the noisy streets. She cries out at the entrance of the city gate. She speaks, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour my spirit into you and I will make my words known to you. New Bible commentary explains it like this from the Proverbs perspective. Verses 20 through 21 personify wisdom as a woman prophet preaching in the places where people gather in the city, in a way which Israel was well accustomed. Verses 22 through 33 record what she was saying, taking further the image of a prophet preaching, being ignored, and then being unavailable when people want to consult her. The image of the prophet helps to convey the urgency of wisdom's challenge to people who are in a critical situation. She speaks as if it's too late, as prophets often do, in order to jolt the people into a response before it really is too late. Christ in his wisdom and mercy is continually reaching out his hand of forgiveness and acceptance to the foolish, the simple, and the scoffers. If they will simply turn to wisdom and understanding and seek Christ, but the fool, the simple, and the scoffer refuse to listen and refuse to seek wisdom, and will face certain destruction because they absolutely will not choose to fear the Lord. Ultimately, God will cease to hear their cries for help. Proverbs 1:24-33 says, "Because I have called you, you refuse to listen. I have stretched out my hand, and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof," which is interesting, "would not have any reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and their the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and be at ease without dread of disaster." So Christ, like wisdom in this, the illustration is always available for the sinner to turn to. It's as if Christ is on every corner, calling for followers, calling from every rooftop in the city square to repent, for people to repent and turn away from their foolishness and hardness. Christ is no longer hidden in an old covenant veil of mystery, but most simply ignore Christ's call to follow him. Instead, most people cling to their simplicity, their scoffing, their foolishness, and reject the wisdom of God. They have no reverence or respect for God and categorically reject God's mercy. Instead, the fool will cling to his own wisdom and knowledge, as finite and as arrogant as it is. It's an amazing illustration when you think about it. To just wisdom is calling out. And then Christ, Christ is wisdom. Christ is calling out from the rooftops, right in the middle of everything, no matter what. And people just keep walking by. You know, they just ignore it into whatever folly that they're going to get into. It's a scary image, but one that's very powerful. Those who reject Christ and wisdom will suffer because of their foolish, sinful choices in this life. But for sure, when they reach eternity, God will turn his back on their distress and anguish as they call out for mercy. It will be too late. Always pursue and be aware of wisdom and understanding. Seek wisdom as looking for silver or hidden treasure. If one looks for wisdom as hidden treasure, they will ultimately find God, for it is God alone who gives wisdom and understanding. The way of wisdom is found through relationship with God, and through that relationship with God, he will watch over you and guard you from evil and darkness. Proverbs 2:1-5. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your ear to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." For going on from 6 to 15, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Then you will understand the righteousness. You will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, and discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, and who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways." Only a relationship with Christ in that relationship, can we experience true godly wisdom that permeates? Here's like the relationship aspects of a relationship with Christ. It permeates our soul, enters into our life, and protects us from a life of sin and foolishness. Do not forget the wisdom and teaching of the Lord, but keep God's commands. Trust in the Lord with all your being. Acknowledge God in everything you do. Wisdom comes directly from God, not from man. And the reward of wisdom might be physical wealth and prosperity, but most wisdom will not come without the cost of God's reproof and discipline in our lives. Rejecting God's discipline is rejecting God's plan for us in the moment and for our growing maturity. We do not trust in our own wisdom, but only in God's wisdom and plan. It's interesting how many times, if you think about the connecting, how much reproof is in there, for the person seeking. Proverbs 3:1-4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord, going on Proverbs 3:5-8. And then I'm going to read Proverbs 3:9-12. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. For me, this kind of was the turnaround or the focal point of these three chapters. I mean, so much is said in these verses. I mean, all of them. It that's why it's kind of an interesting, you know, we tend to take Proverbs and look at them piece by piece, and then we try to apply them. It was helpful for me to just look at the overarching, but it does, in my mind, come to this focal point. At the beginning of chapter 3, the implication is that the wisdom seeker will face the Lord's discipline and reproof. God reproves and disciplines those he loves. And with the Lord's reproof comes understanding, maturity, wisdom. When we are in a time of discipline from the Lord, we are not to lean on our own understanding of the situation. I mean, honestly, how many of us really understand our own suffering? But trust in the Lord and his plan for our lives, because we often, usually, do not understand why we are suffering. And just because we're suffering doesn't mean we've done anything wrong, doesn't mean that we're sinning or being punished at all. But to keep that in mind, it's for our good. We know that when life becomes difficult, it is difficult because the Lord's discipline in our life, he's in control. He does it because he loves us and is maturing us into his image and for his glory. And I don't like to suffer. You know, don't hear me say it, that's easy. But I think when I've gone through difficult times of suffering, I mean, there were times, and it wasn't that long ago, when I've gone through dark times and suffering that I tried to seek wisdom daily, sometimes just reading the word, sometimes just meditating on verses like this, do not trust in your own understanding, you know, those to just something. I would just keep repeating those often and wake up the next day and do the same thing because I couldn't always try to find verses that I can meditate on. But you don't know why, you know, and that's not for us to understand. Probably if we did think we knew why, it probably is not why. only the Lord knows. So we just can't lean on our own understanding, and we just need to remember that it is for our benefit. And I don't like it, but it is the reality of it. I mean, who does, really? But I think it's interesting, though, how much through this, that theme of reproof, and he talks about it was wrong to reject that reproof, to not, in a sense, accept it. And that was kind of convicting to me. Proverbs tells us that finding wisdom and understanding results in blessings that are far better than earthly riches. Wisdom is greater than gold and silver and rare jewels. Nothing we want compares to wisdom. The benefits of wisdom are long life, riches, honor, peace, and pleasantness. Those who hold fast to wisdom will have life and blessings. So listen to Proverbs 3:13-18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life for those who lay hold of her. Those who hold fast to her are called blessed. So blessed is the one who finds Christ and in turn finds wisdom and understanding and eternal life. For those who gain, the gain of finding Christ is better than any gain from finding silver and gold. Christ is more precious than jewels, and nothing we want can compare to finding Christ and wanting Christ. Eternal life awaits those who find Christ, along with eternal riches and honor. A life in Christ should be filled with pleasantness, peace, and blessings, even during and in the midst of our suffering. Do not lose sight of wisdom, understanding, and discretion, for they will be life to your soul and clarity for your walk and safety on your path. If you treasure wisdom, your sleep will be sweet and secure, because the Lord will always be your confidence. That is true wisdom. But wisdom is not simply a vertical relationship with God, but wisdom is also to be acted out on a horizontal plane with those around us. Do not withhold good from a neighbor and live wisely and humbly among others. Do your best to spread the treasure and blessings of living a wise life toward and in front of others. Proverbs 3:21-27. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, for they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. So do not lose sight of Christ and keep sound wisdom and discretion. Christ is life to our soul and the one who accompanies us through life. His word and spirit will provide us a confident, secure walk through a potentially difficult and sometimes hazardous life. When we lie down at night, we will not need to be afraid, and our sleep will be sweet. We will not be afraid of sudden terror, because the Lord will be our confidence, and Christ will keep our foot from being caught in the snare of sin. As the Lord is our confidence, we should never withhold good from those around us, especially when it is in our power to give it. And this commandment is not just meant for fellow believers, but anyone that's in our life and anyone that we come in contact with. Our life in Christ should be lived outward toward others. So in conclusion, I think one of the things, too, I think that was helpful for me is, taking Colossians, and when you read Proverbs, and you can just replace Christ with the word wisdom. You can go through there as you read that. Certainly keep that in your mind that wisdom, we need to seek wisdom daily. But we also need to seek Christ, even when you have him, seek daily. I think that's what we're supposed to do. So Christ is wisdom. Christ is the fulfillment and embodiment of wisdom and understanding. A wisdom is a life of wisdom is a life of, in, and through a personal relationship with Christ and learning how to live wisely through his word. And even though we are to seek Christ and wisdom as silver and gold, pursuing a life in Christ and pursuing wisdom does not guarantee a life of ease, blessing, and riches. But it does guarantee an eternal trajectory of life, blessings, and riches, and peace, blessings, healing, safety, and life, eventually, for sure. Wisdom most often comes through godly discipline and reproof from God's hand. And God is always available, like wisdom, calling from the town square to walk with us through reproof and discipline. When we're in that hard time, call out for Christ. Call out for him, even when we don't understand our suffering. And in times of suffering, we are to continue to seek Christ and wisdom as one seeks a rare treasure, as we patiently and persistently wait for God. So I just want to encourage you in closing to seek Christ and his wisdom daily. I find myself praying it a lot because I need it. I need wisdom to get through the day. And I know Christ is there. He's going to provide it. And we can't always see it. We don't always understand. But if we keep reaching, we keep asking, we will find it, like finding treasure, like finding silver. And let us live a life of wisdom in such a way that everyone can see wisdom, everyone can see Christ in his wisdom working in your life. And bring honor and glory to him. Bring more people in the community. I related that actually to community today in my sermon because wisdom does take place in community. So let's pray, and I'll leave you with that this week. And then the worship team can come up. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with your word, blessing us with this time to meet and just to go through it together. And just thank you that those people who are here wanted to hear your word, are seeking you, seeking wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that we would always keep our eye on that eternal focus and trajectory of just finding that silver, finding that treasure at the end. We know it is in you because you encompass all wisdom. And there is nothing greater than a personal relationship with you. And you will help us and guide us through this dangerous, difficult life. And we're thankful for that. And help us in community, Lord, just to encourage one another and hold one another up and care about one another so that as we go into eternity together, your name and your church would be honored and glorified, and we would just be one glorious family together for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.